Romans chapter 1. Verse 15. How about 14? I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. For there in the gospel is the righteousness of God. For there in the gospel is the imputed righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Amen. Abraham believed God. It was counted unto him for righteousness. He had faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. And that's a quotation from Habakkuk 2:4. In our verse for today, for the wrath of God. Now we heard about the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel. Now he says the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. It's heaven that gets so angry. Earth doesn't seem to be bothered by all the wickedness and the sin that happens. But heaven's angry. Heaven's a holy place. The devil's been kicked out. Jesus is surrounded with multitudes of holy angels. And holiness cannot stand wickedness. Holiness cannot stand wickedness. So it says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Let's start there, and we may possibly finish the chapter. For the wrath of God. Let me make a statement about the wrath of God. The wrath of God is not an uncontrolled emotion. It is a principle of His righteousness. The wrath of God is not an uncontrolled emotion. It is a principle of His righteousness. Hebrews 1:9, speaking of Jesus, says, thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. It's not enough to love flowers. You have to hate weeds.
Amen.
How many of you have a flower garden and fertilize the weeds? How many of you have a flower garden and go out and pray for the weeds to grow bigger and be healthier? Or how many of you have a flower garden and go out and attack the weeds? You go out like a madman in the morning. There's a weed. You pull it out and you get rid of it. You're not going to bother my flowers. That's the way God feels. He not only loves flowers, He hates weed. He not only loves righteousness, He hates sin. And how many people are there in the world today that want both? They want both. They want to go to church and live with another woman without being married to her. Brother, that's fornication, if not adultery.
Amen.
How many people want to do it? Why did John the Baptist get his head cut off? It's not lawful for you to have that woman. We better decapitate him. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Oh, to be seated with Christ in heavenly places and have the same feelings that He has about righteousness and the same feelings that He has about wickedness and iniquity. And I don't know if we are seated in heavenly places with Him if we don't hate iniquity. It needs to bother us. David said that tears ran down his face like rivers of water because the wicked did not keep God's law. It bothered him. And sin should bother us. I remember years ago when I would be standing with a group of men
or working with a group of men and a woman would walk up, those men with their foul mouths would say, "Shh, here comes a woman." Now the women come up and tell the men dirtier jokes than the men can think of.
That's right.
And God hates it. The sad thing is these people want to be accepted by their churches. And a sadder thing yet is that the churches accept that sin in it. The Bible tells us how to handle sin. Rebuke, reprove, and so on. With all authority, let no man despise thee. Habakkuk 1:13 says, "Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity." Psalm 7:11 says, "And God is angry with the wicked every day." Just think of that. God is angry with the wicked every day. You cannot appease his anger unless you repent. You cannot go on living in sin. This world cannot appease God's anger until they repent. And God is angry with the wicked every day. He never lets up. And it goes on there and it says, if the wicked turn not, God will whet his sword. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. He's got his bow aimed right at their wicked hearts, ready to let go and let the arrow fly, and it will find its mark. Verse 13, "He hath also prepared for him the instruments of death." In other words, God is angry with the wicked every day. I was reading Psalm 7, 11, 12, and verses 11, 12, and 13. Now, God may not execute judgment every day. In fact, Ecclesiastes 8:11 says, excuse me, "Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily." Just because when a man curses God, God doesn't strike him dead. Listen to this. "Therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil." A man came to me and told me how that he stood before a group of sinners, other young people at the university here in Eau Claire. He looked at his watch and he was converting them to atheism. And he said, "I'll prove to you there's no God." He said, "Okay, God, if you're there, I challenge you to strike me dead in the next 30 seconds. And he watched his second hand, and those young people were catching their breath and turning colors, and he defied God. The 30 seconds were up, and he said, "Look, I'm still alive, I'm still breathing. My heart's pumping. See, there's no God," and then they go out and celebrate with a drunken spree. That man got converted and came to me one time and it bothered him and he said, "Why didn't God strike me dead? Why didn't he do it?" I said, "Well, brother, he had every right to do it, but you didn't prove there was no God. You proved he was a merciful God."
Amen.
God is a merciful God, and because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil, and that is the case so many times. But even though he doesn't execute judgment speedily every time, hardly ever, yet his purpose is inflexible. In Luke 13:5, he said, "I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." God's sword is ready to destroy the wicked, and God's arrows are pointed directly at the heart, excuse me, of the ACLU. And I got a right to say that, by the way. They got a right to tell me.
Amen.
His arrows are aimed at those lawyers which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. That's Isaiah chapter 5, verse 23. Isaiah 5, 23. "I said his arrows are aimed at those lawyers which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him." I can't understand how a human being can defend a murderer. Somebody that will cut a woman up in pieces and do all those rotten things. I can't understand that. There's got to be some corruption in his heart that's unbelievable. But God's got his arrows aimed at them. but he's given them time to repent. But when they move, the arrow follows them. And God has perfect aim. I believe his arrows are aimed at those churches that advertise their Sunday 11 a.m. picnic with bingo all afternoon and big beer garden, word for word from the Eau Claire paper. I believe his arrows are aimed at those media who promote witchcraft and those Board of Education members who promote sex clinics. I believe his arrow is aimed at the heart of Planned Parenthood and the pornography industry and those pastors that tell risque, if not dirty, jokes and those so-called Christian movies. One was advertised where I had to use a magnifying glass to read something that looked like small print, a Christian movie. The small print that I had to read through a magnifying glass said, "Parents are strongly cautioned. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13. If it's inappropriate for children under 13, it's inappropriate for me. If it's inappropriate for children under 13, it's inappropriate for adults. And by the way, I resent those signs that say adult entertainment. That's an insult. I'm an adult, and that's not my entertainment.
Amen.
Adult entertainment makes me sick. And if it makes me sick, what do you think it does to God, who is absolutely, perfectly holy?
Amen.
How do you think he feels? No wonder. Better repent. Everywhere they go, they can fly, they can dive, they can walk, they can speed. His arrows aimed right at their heart. How many ever heard the sermon by Jonathan Edwards, "Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God"? I read it in this church. I'll have to read that again. All men are lost. They're born lost. And unless they repent, they remain lost. You ever read about the wrath of God? You read it all over in the Bible. Just turn to Revelation chapter 6 and read what happens when he opens the sixth seal. Beginning at Revelation chapter 6, verse 12. "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. And every mountain and island were moved out of their places." God is angry. "And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, 'Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?'" Did you hear that? Do you know that that day is actually coming? The Lamb shed his blood. And when that blood is despised, when that blood is refused to cover their sins, the wrath of the Lamb follows that rejection. Has to be. God said so. That settles it. Amen. The only escape from the wrath of the Lamb is to believe the gospel, repent of our sins, obey the gospel, and then we can escape. Thank God for a place of escape, a way of escape. And 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, not tomorrow, folks, not next week, If you're ever going to repent, repent today. If you're ever going to get baptized today. Now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation.
Oh my. Back to Romans chapter 1. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Notice it says all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. I thought about that for a while. Ungodly and unrighteous. We have ungodly men and we have unrighteous men. I don't claim to have a revelation on this, but I'm going to offer it to you. It seems to me like an ungodly man is a man who lives as though there were no God. That makes sense? Ungodly. He lives as though there's no God. And an unrighteous man lives as though there's no righteousness. Nothing black, nothing white. Nothing's right, nothing's wrong. You know what? An unrighteous man lives as though there is no revelation of righteousness. And so whatever he does is okay. But the will of God reveals righteousness. So, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. That word hold, I looked up in my Strong's and my Vines. Number 2722, it means to hold down, to retain, to withhold. And Vines says, and that's why I want you to have copies of Strong's and copies of Vines so you can check up on me. I want you to go home and study what I say so you get it yourself from God and you're not just taking somebody at his word. Vines. Men who restrain the spread of truth by their unrighteousness. They actually hold back, they restrain the spread of truth by their ungodly lives, ungodly desires, ungodly laws. Didn't David say, shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee? The throne of iniquity, the seat, the power of iniquity, have fellowship with God? Those people who frame mischief by law, that's what they do. They make laws that legalize mischief. They make laws that legalize sin. But if God doesn't legalize it, man can do what he wants to. God just breaks his fellowship with them. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee? Who make mischief through the law? Through their laws? Oh, we need to understand God better than we do.
Amen.
Verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. The world, I said, and I repeat, has a subtle way of making people think that God is so obscure and the Bible is so dubious. Well, that it's almost impossible to have faith in them. I've had people come to me and say, you must have a lot of faith to believe in God, believe in the Bible. Good people, decent people. I told about one man. He came to me and he said these very words. He said, I envy you. He said, I wish I had your faith. He said, I just can't believe it. I just can't believe it. Now, if he was a Mormon and he didn't believe that Joseph Smith found the golden plates, I could say, well, like two Mormons said to me out in Salt Lake City last October. I got acquainted with these elderly gentlemen, more elderly than myself. One was 70 and one was 76. And we talked a little, and I said, are you gentlemen Mormons? And they said, well, they looked at each other and said, well, we were raised Mormons. And I said, what happened to you? Well, we just don't believe Joseph Smith found those gold plates. And I looked at him and I said, I don't either. That would be a little difficult to believe. But to believe there's a God and to believe the Bible is the Word of God, the world has made it sound difficult to believe in God and to believe the Bible is God's Word. They have a subtle way of making people believe that. And people fall for it. But God says in His Word, listen to it, that which may be known, and He says, by the way, He says that which may be known of God. In other words, you or I, no man will ever be able to explore the depths of God. That's why Paul was still crying out, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death. Paul's cry was, oh, I want to know Him. I'll let anything go. I'll call it dung for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Because that which may be known. In other words, God hasn't revealed Himself completely, fully, totally. I'm getting second thoughts. He did reveal Himself. He did reveal Himself wholly and completely. When Jesus came, that was the full revelation of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And yet I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. In other words, He's saying here, there's more to come, there's more to come, there's more to come. We've seen Jesus on earth, but He's gone to prepare a place for us that our eyes have not beheld yet. Oh, it's beautiful, it's great, it's grand, it's glorious, and it's coming. And we've received the earnest of our inheritance, and we've gotten a glimpse in the Spirit. They're revealed unto us by the Spirit, but there is so much more to come. That which may be known of God is manifest in them. We're talking now not about the revelation of Jesus Christ here. We're talking about the manifestations of God in His creatures and in the handiwork of His hands everywhere. That which may be known of God. Psalm 19:1. Oh, look at that. Turn right to it. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. There's no excuse. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. See? There's no excuse for any man not believing in God. They just think they're smart when they don't believe in God. But God says they're not smart. They have only shown themselves to become fools. That's what God says. And this world doesn't like to hear this kind of preaching. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. See, it's not hard to believe there's a God. It's hard not to believe there's a God.
Amen.
Amen. Hear it again. The heavens declare the existence of God. The firmament showeth the existence of God. Day unto day cries, God exists. Night unto night cries, God exists. There is no speech nor language where the voice that shouts, there is a God, open your eyes, behold and see.
Hallelujah.
That's what David said in Psalm 19.
Amen.
And to me, that's just exactly what it means. Praise the Lord. But the world has this subtle way of making people think it's difficult to have faith. Ooh, that gets me. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. You can say, period, the ink is dry, it's settled forever in heaven. God hath showed it unto them. He hasn't shown me, some guy says. Well, then you're blind, deaf, dumb, and dead.
Amen.
Right? Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Clearly seen. You can't miss it. They're clearly seen. It's like the plan of salvation. Isaiah 35:8 says, the wayfaring men, though fools, should not err therein. It's so clear, so plain. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Some people prefer to go bang, bang, big bang, you know. They prefer to remain ignorant. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead. Listen to this, and God said it, and it's already settled. It's recorded in heaven, and that's it. So that they are without excuse. So that they are without excuse. God says there's no excuse for atheism, no excuse for agnosticism. There's no excuse for infidelism. There's no excuse for unbelief. No excuse. There's a lot of it, but there's no excuse for it.
Amen.
Because, now He tells us why. Because that when they knew God, did they ever know God? That's what He says. They knew that God existed. They knew it. But they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. Did you hear that? They glorified Him not as God. Here's a quote from the Barbara Morris Report. Quote, "We find insufficient evidence for the belief in the existence of the supernatural." But that's not settled forever in heaven. That's going to erode away. Here's a quote from Gloria Steinem, editor of Ms. Magazine. Quote, "Any child who believes in God is mentally ill." And you people must be sicker yet for putting your children in Sunday school. Here's a quote by educator John Dunphy. "The Bible is not merely another book, an outmoded and archaic book. It has been and remains an incredibly dangerous book." I'll tell you what happened. Well, let me read this verse and then I'll tell you what happened. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became." They became something they never were before. They became vain, and how did it all start? They quit worshiping Him as God, and they started serving and worshiping the creature more than the Creator. And it turned against them. "Neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. And then they professed themselves to be wise, and they became fools." I like what Brother Wiseman said one time. He stood up here in the other church, here in the other church, and he said, he thought about all of these educated men, the intelligentsia getting together, and they're standing before this massive crowd of people, introducing one another, and now we have Professor so-and-so. He has his such-and-such from this college, and his master's from this one, and his PhD from this one, and his his doctor of divinity from this one, and this one here. Now, and then he introduces the next one, you know, and now we have Dr. So and So from the University of Hillel in Jerusalem, and he has this degree and that one, and everybody claps and stands to their feet, you know. And then there's a stranger standing there. Oh, who's going to introduce him? Oh, what's your name, sir? My name is Jesus. Well, what college did you graduate from?
None.
Well, what are your credentials?
I created the heavens and the earth.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Let me finish Brother Wiseman's story. He's not here to finish it. I added this. They introduced him, They didn't believe him, and they killed him. But you and I have received him.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up. That's what the Bible says. To uncleanness, through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, here it is again, God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise, and that's lesbianism, and likewise also the men, now we're going to talk about homosexuality among men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly. And they're trying to make it sound seemly. And receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over. We read it in verse 24. God gave them up. In verse 26, God gave them up. In verse 28, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but film them and sell them to other people and have pleasure in them that do them. Makes you want to weep. Makes you want to cry, sob. What a commentary on men who shoved God aside. What a commentary. When I read these verses, I can't help but think of the progression of sin. Look at verse 21. They glorified him not as God. Listen, when you feel something in you that resists worshiping the Lord, you better hit this altar full speed ahead until you feel like worshiping God, because you're going to fall into the same progression of sin. When you stop worshiping God, you don't love him and worship him. They glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. Their foolish heart was darkened. See how it's going down and down and down? Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They got well educated, but they became fools. They left the foundation for all education. They walked off the foundation for all education. God. The existence of God. God's Word. Oh my. Thoughts. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God. Into an image made like to corrupt. And down it goes. God gave them up. See, first they got their worship all messed up. And then they started worshiping creatures and things. And they tried to bring God down to their level instead of acknowledging him as God above their level. That's what it says here. They changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. Bring him down to our level. Oh, my mind. I said I'd tell you what happened. I've said it before. God pulled their plug. Didn't he? He cut off their power. You know, man was born with a switch in his head. It says on and off. And everybody's born with that switch on. Common sense, you know. And you have to, defy God and walk away from God. Because it says right here that when they knew God, the switch was on. They knew God. They knew that God existed. The switch was on. When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. And they went through that whole progression of sin, right down to the pit. And so God said, okay, I've had enough. He reached in through their skull, He found the switch, and He went from on to off. He turned it off. And now man can't help it. We can't help it. God turned their switch off. That's their reward. Listen, they can't even, the Supreme Court can't even define a simple word like decency. The most respected souls of our nation can't define a simple word like wholesome. Unbelievable. Dude, how many think they know where I'm coming from?
Amen.
Good. Yes. You've been through all that. You've read the papers for years, and you know how they struggle with words like decency. Well, we have to define... Oh, brother. And now they've come to a place where they are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That's their condition today. They're ever learning. Well, let's see now. How are we going to solve this problem? Oh my, I gotta hurry. Just let me hurry. With all their degrees and with billions of dollars, they cannot solve the simplest social problem. Problems that either you or I could solve without spending a dollar of the taxpayers' money.
Amen.
If they would elect me president and do what I said, I could wipe out the national debt. I know I could. You know what I'd do? I'd find all their laws, stacks of them, miles high. I'd say, we don't need that one, 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 we don't need that one. And I'd dig away all the dirt and the crud and the rubble, and I'd come up with two tablets of stone. And I'd say, God said, hallelujah. All their degrees, all their education, and all their billions of dollars, they can't solve the simplest social problem we have, AIDS. It's so simple to solve the problem of AIDS. But they want to break everybody, confiscate their money in a form called taxes to solve these problems. You and I can solve them with one commandment. Thou shalt not commit adultery. One tenth of God's law will solve almost every social problem we have. It would solve the gonorrhea problem. It would solve the syphilis problem. It would solve all venereal disease problems. It would solve divorce problems. It would solve all the social ills that we have regarding that area of life. One commandment. See what happened? See what Paul's telling us in Romans 1? They shoved God aside. They didn't want to retain Him in their knowledge. And God said, okay, off! And He turned the switch off. And that's a condition society today. Listen to this sad, sad article. March 1989. In the Eau Claire paper. Homeless families increasing. Boy. We don't know what to do about it. We just got to get some more money. We got to send somebody to school and get educated in this thing and see what's wrong here. And we'll just raise the taxes. We'll shuffle the taxes. But we got to have more money. We'll take the Social Security away from the old folks, maybe. We'll think this over. And they're going to die anyway. We'll just practice euthanasia on them. And we're going to solve this AIDS problem. We're going to kill that disease. A federal survey, say survey.
Survey.
says the nation is housing more homeless people than ever, particularly families, but it offers no estimate. A survey offers no estimate. Quite a survey. The Department of Housing and Urban Development study, I'm just going to pick out a few key words here. The study released Tuesday, spending on homeless shelters has increased more than fivefold to more than $1.5 billion annually since a similar HUD study, in 1984. It said, the report said, the survey said, that's just a couple words, the study was released as President Bush called homelessness a national shame. Absolutely. HUD Secretary Jack Kemp said the study shows, the HUD study reported a large scale, it said, HUD's findings were based on, the department did not offer an estimate of the homeless population in its study, HUD estimate, oh my, the new study, see, ever learning and never able, they studied, they surveyed, they're studying again, they'll never find the answer until they repent. The study found, the study concluded, unaccompanied men no longer represent the majority of sheltered homeless. 3/4 of those were single parents with children. We don't know how to solve all that. The study said, the report said, and I wrote down here in my typing, the report said and so forth, 2 Timothy 3:7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth, and then Isaiah 53:1, who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? This is a report from the government. Junk. No progress. But who hath believed our report, Isaiah said? Who hath believed the prophet's report? Oh, the story of the coming Messiah. The story of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Who hath believed our report? They believe anyone but God. They believe any book but the Bible. God talks about immorality. Why not believe him? Why will you die? The choice is yours. You can live. And I want to close. Let me read this in closing. Because I've had people come up nose to me and say, you offend me when you preach hard like that. And I've had others of you come to me and say, preach it hard, Brother Cameron, we want to go to heaven. We want to make it. That's the great majority of you. Listen to what Jonathan Edwards said. No, Charles Finney. You gave me this great fire, didn't you? See if you recognize it. I think it was Charles Finney. Anyway, obviously somebody said to him, we don't like your hard preaching. Well, let me read it. But perhaps you will say that you do not like to hear about hell and damnation, that you love mercy, and that if ministers would present the love and mercy of God, and present God as a God of mercy, then sinners would love him. I've had that said to me. Why don't you preach the love of God? Why don't you preach the mercy of God?